As a boy, I admired Humphrey Bogart in a big way. I coveted the Homburg and trench coat. I wanted to pack heat and smoke unfiltered cigarettes and give them long-legged dames in mink stoles the squinty-eyed once over. I longed to chase villains, right wrongs, and restore the peace. Upon surviving into manhood, I discovered the black and comedic irony that is every gumshoe's existential plight, the secret the dime novels and black-and-white movies always elide. Each clue our intrepid detective deciphers, each mystery he unravels, each crime he solves makes the world an unhappier place. I got smart and became a gangster instead. More money, more women, and better clothes. Much less in the way of mystery. As for the misery quotient, basically a wash. Became a gangster, there's a mouthful. How I wound up hitting for the far north division of the outfit is a woeful saga. The story of how I escaped that life is no less grim, but it's a hell of a lot shorter. The outfit flew me first class from Anchorage to Nome on a working vacation. Boss had wrapped his arm around my shoulder. "Isaiah," he said, "do me a favor, son. Take in the frozen vistas, photograph the northern lights, maybe crack a few heads. See you in a couple months." Perhaps not those exact words, but close. What he really meant was snoop around and make sure everything was copacetic behind the scenes. The gig didn't appeal to my sensibilities. Nome isn't a premier post by any means. In fact, the suits in Anchorage and Chicago treat the town like a mafia penal colony. Two types get sent to the deep freeze. Guys with specialist talent and ne'er-do-wells. We're talking malcontents, sadists, and screw-ups. No, I didn't relish the assignment, short-term or not. However, I understood my place. A polite request from the headman was no request at all. Upon landing, I reported to Vitale Knight, a local mob potentate in charge of tundra as far as the eye could see, a medium-built guy, angular from his hawkish nose and bony hands to his sharp knees, shiny, graying hair and tailored duds, a Sinatra wannabe. Knight had risen through the ranks in Chicago as the premier button man of the generation prior to my own, quick on the draw as a Wild West gunfighter with a pile of bodies to his credit. I witnessed him in action at the shooting range. Fast wasn't really an adequate description. The pistol seemed to teleport from its holster to his hand as he emptied a magazine through a bullseye the diameter of a nickel. A Man Without Compunction was the book on Vitale Knight. It's difficult to come by a higher compliment in the mob. Why the powers that be shipped him to Alaska presented a mystery. Rumors abounded. He'd whacked somebody without permission. He'd stolen the wrong captain's mistress. He'd looked funny at a boss. Could have been any of those trespasses, or none. Lately, Knight handled various rackets between Nome and Prudhoe Bay. Drugs, guns, gambling, prostitution. Anything to improve the morale of lonely commercial fishermen and oilfield roughnecks as they toiled in the land of the midnight sun. The outfit loved Alaska. Wide open shipping lanes, among the finest weed in North America, and a never-ending glut of petroleum money that eventually flowed into their pockets. Maintaining a successful Alaska operation was a matter of identifying men who could handle extremes of light and dark and perpetually savage weather. My task? Intimidate a few of Knight's underperforming subordinates so he didn't need to lower himself or muck around with hurt feelings. Family relationships are petty and complicated. Doesn't matter what family you're talking about. When you needed a whip hand, you sent Isaiah Coleridge. I'd set the gold standard. Those movies by Albert Broccoli about the world-famous spy? In every flick, there's a sinister, powerfully built dude in a nice suit lurking at the margins. He kills people who annoy his boss, the arch-villain. I was that dude. The first few weeks in Nome were smooth. The bozos I'd come to frighten took a gander at my game face and straightened their acts out in a hurry. Easy money. Mostly we played cards and spent a sizable chunk of our evenings boozing at one of a dozen taverns. I got close to the crew, especially Knight's second fiddle, Tony Becky, a.k.a. Tony Flowers. A pot-bellied old-school gangster, old-school as in dark ages.